Morning from me as well. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's have a word of prayer before we look at God's word. Father, we do ask you this morning to continue to be with us as we look to your word now. We ask that it would be a living word to us. It would find a lodging place in our hearts, and there would be a listening ear here this morning. Father, grant that precious anointing of your Holy Spirit upon the speaking of the words and the listening of them, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to look at just the first few verses of Hebrews 11. It's not the whole chapter, thankfully. It's a long chapter, and there's so much in it. But we're just going to read the first six verses of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And really, it's this one word really that comes up four times in this chapter I want to look at this morning. It comes up in verse 2, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 39. It's translated slightly differently in my version each time. It's actually the same Hebrew word. And it's this, in verse 2, for by it men of old gained approval. That obviously means approval with God. Approval. But actually, it also means this, and it comes up in verse 4, through which he obtained the testimony. So verse 2 could have said, and it's, you've got this in your column somewhere, mine's in the extra bit in the Bible in the middle here, and it says this, it could mean, find it, obtained a good testimony. Obtained a good testimony. And then in verse 5 again, Enoch was taken up, and at the end it says that he obtained, in the middle of the verse, he obtained the witness. And often this word is translated witness in Scripture. But it's all to do with us obtaining a good testimony before God and in the sight of God. And on my heart this morning is really to encourage us in the year ahead. This is what God is wanting us to do. To obtain a good testimony before him. To find approval in his sight. It's not that we've got to try and earn things from God. Not talking about that. It's like a child who is a son or daughter of parents, but because they are loved by those parents, because they've been given life in a sense by those parents, they want to find the approval of the parents. They want to please their parents. And it's something of that here, that we are to seek the approval of God. And it's so difficult in our day, isn't it? Because there's so many things that are sort of pressing in on us, and we want to give approval to man in particular. And that can be quite a snare, can't it? When we want to find the approval of men before the approval of God. It's all something we've got to struggle with. Some of us have greater difficulty with it than others. But it's something that will always be there, because of the nature of the world that we're living. Let me read just a couple of verses from John 12. And this is verse 42, 43. Just listen if you want. And this is about Pharisees. Verse 42, nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Friends, if we're in that place this morning where we rather prefer the approval of people than the approval of God, we're in a very dangerous place. Because these rulers, it said they believed in him, but they did not confess him. And therefore faith is not complete. That faith does not save you, as James says. Can such faith save you? James asks when he's talking about the completion of faith. Faith isn't just, in a sense, a belief in the inner man. There must be evidence for this, and it's complete as there is the obedience of faith. Romans talks about obedience of faith and hearing of faith. And these Pharisees, or these rulers, heard, but they did not believe. They did not confess, and therefore this faith did not save them. And at the root, I think, of seeking the approval of man is often the fear of man, isn't it? We're afraid of what people might say. We're afraid of how we might appear to them. It's an ongoing battle that we have. And that's a snare. Proverbs warns us of that, of course. It says that the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. It can paralyze us. It can prevent us coming into a liberty that the Lord has for us. So let's be careful that we seek the approval of God in the year ahead. I'm talking about us individually, but even as an assembly, we need constantly to be seeking the approval of God, finding favor with him. Because if we don't, then we're in a very dangerous place. But the alternative translation for this is obtaining a good testimony. God's desire for every one of us here this morning is that in the year ahead, we will arrive at the end of the year and our lives will say something to him, before him. It will be a good testimony about the way we have conducted ourselves, the way we've lived our lives in the year. It may not be that we've done an awful lot, but the way we've lived our lives and conducted ourselves before others speak a testimony to the glory of God. That's what God is after from us, friends. And he's after from that from the assembly as well. And I will just say as well, this faith that we read of, excuse me, in Hebrews 11, I want to say this is genuine faith, because there is much that is counterfeit. There is a counterfeit faith, even in the church, it's sad to say, where we can say, because I believe this, that's real faith. Faith is initiated by God. Faith starts with him. He gives us a conviction, an assurance about something from which we can act. It's not something I sort of work up. You know, I want a BMW next year, so I'm really going to believe for it. That's not faith. Faith is something where God is giving us a conviction because we're hearing him. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing. And so, friends, if we want to have genuine faith this morning, we need to be in the Word of God. If we're not in the Word of God, if you are treating the Word of God lightly, trivially, and it's not that important to you, I'll be absolutely sure that you will not have much faith in your life. You won't be operating in the way God wants you to operate. Genuine faith will be lacking in your life. Because the scripture instructs us, we are to walk by faith. Faith isn't a one-off thing that we have at the beginning of our lives when God enables us to believe in him, sins forgiven, and we are saved. It's an ongoing walk with God in faith. And faith is initiated by God through his word. He gives us that assurance. He gives us that assurance. Now, just to bring that out, just sidetracking slightly, past Timothy, the letter to Timothy brings that out a couple of times. In fact, they're both 2 Tim 1:5 and 1 Tim 1:5, same verse, same chapter. So let me read 1 Tim 1 verse 5 rather than the 2 Tim 1 verse 5. And it says this. 1 Tim 1 verse 5, it says this. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That word sincere in the Greek means unfeigned. It's not pretense. It's not hypocritical. It's real. It's not we're putting on a show and we're pretending This is a genuine thing that God has wrought in our hearts and our lives. So let's make sure that our faith is sincere. It is genuine. And it's not something that's feigned and hypocritical. You know, the human heart is very adept, isn't it, in putting on a show. I know my own heart. I can put on a show very well. In fact, I've got to do that in the class sometimes when I'm teaching. You know, it's part of teaching perhaps. But our hearts can be very deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all else, we read in Jeremiah. So we've got to watch our own hearts, friends, and make sure that what we call faith is actually faith. It is genuine faith. And as I said, faith comes through the hearing of God's word. True faith comes this way. It won't come any other way. We won't find any shortcuts. God has got to give it. God has got to initiate it. We won't get it by going to theological college. We won't get it by sort of come to church every Sunday. Although that's good. Please keep coming. But it's not the way that God is going to give us faith. It is in the relationship we have with Him. It is as we come to His Word, as we spend time with Him, God writes things in our hearts. God gives us a conviction about something. In our relationship with Him, as we are in that walk with Him, God can give us the conviction about something. And that's what we need, friends, and that's what true faith is. So how is your relationship with Him this morning? Or let's set our hearts on deepening that relationship with Him in the year ahead, so that we're in a place that He can write these things on our hearts and increase that faith in us. And I want to really look back to the Hebrews 11, if you kept your finger in there. I just really want to look at a couple of examples. Now, verse 39 says this in Hebrews 11. And all these, it's got a huge list of names. And it says, and all of these, having gained approval, same word, having obtained a good testimony, all of these. And there's some names in here, we might think, oh, Samson? Well, he's a bit of a philanderer, wasn't he? You know, he didn't live that well. But actually, God used him mightily. And he obtained a good testimony because he lived by faith. So the first thing I want to say is, we haven't got to be perfect to obtain a good testimony. That's not an excuse to live as we want, of course. But if you're waiting to be perfect to live by faith, you're never going to get there. Samson was far from perfect. But he obtained a good testimony because of faith. And all these, having obtained a good testimony, having gained approval through their faith. You see, if you want to gain approval in God's sight, you have to live by faith. There is no other way. You're not going to do it by giving to charity every week something. You're not going to do it by doing as many good works as you can every week, thinking we can gain the approval of God. It's not going to cut it with Him. Because our hearts need changing. We need a transformation. No amount, as we heard this morning in our time of worship, no amount of all the things we can do, even the trying to keep the law, is not going to gain the approval of God. It is the faith that God gives. Now just think of that for a minute. How wonderful is that? God even gives us the faith to find approval. We can't get it ourselves. We obviously have to be receptive and open to Him, seeking Him, wanting this. But God sees that and He can give it. So verse 39 says, all of these, I'll be thankful this morning. We're not going to consider all of these in Hebrews 11. We'll be here a long time. I'm just going to consider two and one mainly. And it's the first two. Abel. It's good to go back and look at Abel. We don't often look at the first few chapters of Genesis, but so critical. It's fundamental, foundational to our Christian faith. It's where we see the fall of man. And then the need that we have for salvation. So let's look at that story in the account of this in Genesis chapter 4. Now the man, that's Adam, had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be lifted up? Will your countenance not be lifted up? Will you not find approval with God?" I should say. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. What was Abel's testimony? In Hebrews, don't turn back to there if you've lost the page. It says in that passage in 11, Abel's testimony was this. By faith, By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. So he had the conviction. He knew what God expected of him. You see, Cain would have known this as well. He would have known this because his parents would have told him. He was the eldest son. He was the older of the two. This wasn't sort of a random thing that, oh, just happened that Abel chose the right sacrifice and God was vindictive against Cain. No, Cain knew what he should have been doing. He knew what God expected of him. And I would even say this was a sin offering. And God is not going to accept an offering for sin where there is no shedding of blood. He says it very clearly. That's God. He has said this. That's why Jesus had to shed his blood. Because God would not accept any other offering but the shedding of blood. Now, Christ is the perfect sacrifice, of course, and sufficient for salvation for everyone that responds to him. But here, well before Christ, of course, we have the sin offering, the shedding of blood of an animal. And Cain perhaps thought he knew better than God. He thought perhaps he could earn something of this forgiveness by just doing his own thing. Maybe, you know, I'll just bring the offerings of what I'm producing in the ground. And God wasn't going to have that. He wasn't going to have that. You see, Cain had heard what God had said, but he hadn't listened. He hadn't listened. And there's a big difference. You know, we can hear, we can come here every Sunday, and we can hear something from the front, and it will have no impact upon us unless we listen. Listen is taking it to heart. It is taking it to heart in such a way that I respond to it. And if we don't listen, we will end up doing the wrong thing, being unrighteous before God. Because Cain was unrighteous. Abel had the witness, the testimony that he was right. He did the right thing. And we will do the wrong thing before God if we do not listen. And I know what it is not to listen, because I was like that myself. When I was at school, and some of my pupils like that. Our children can be like that, can't they? We can speak to them. They can hear what we're saying, but they don't listen. They don't take it to heart. They don't take it to heart. You see, God said to Israel when they came out of Egypt, his one thing that he wanted, his one thing that he wanted more than anything else was what, would you say? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. That was his prime commandment to Israel. And it hasn't changed one jot, friends. It is the same to us today as it was then in the Old Covenant. Listen to me. What did God say when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration? We read it three times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God is saying, this is important. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Friends, are we listening to what God is saying? Or do we pay lip service to it? It is a very, very dangerous place to be if we are only hearing but not listening. It puts us in a very dangerous place. For Cain, a curse came on him. God cursed him. We can go and read that in the rest of those verses in Genesis chapter 4. In Malachi 2, it says this. Don't turn to it. I'll just read this to you. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart. The two things are connected, aren't they? Listening is really taking it to heart, basically. If you do not listen and do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, then I will send the curse upon you. Well, Cain knew something of curse. Curse can mean just a lack in the sight of God. It can mean more than that as well, of course. A lot more. Are we lacking in our spiritual lives? Are we lacking in our Christian walk? Well, can you ask yourself, and I ask myself the same question, am I listening to the Lord? Am I taking to heart what He is saying? Or am I just picking and choosing what I want to hear? And I've known this, where some Christians will pick and choose what they like because it tickles the ear. But the little things they don't like, well, we'll just pass that over. We'll ignore that. We will ignore that. And so he goes on, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you're not taking it to heart. You see, the priests of the day were not conforming to God's word. They were not doing the things God wanted them. They were not righteous. They were not doing what was right as Abel did, because they were not listening. They were not taking it to heart what God was saying. And Cain was exactly the same. He did not take it to heart. He ignored the voice of God, if you like. And there's various reasons why we can come up with why he did that. Maybe there was an arrogance in the heart, a pride in the heart. And we've all got to struggle with that, haven't we? We're all different, I suppose. But in a sense, we all have something within us that there's a pride. And there's an arrogance. And the arrogance of the human heart is quite staggering at times, isn't it? And it can lead to stubbornness. Stubbornness is a horrible thing, isn't it? It's a horrible thing when you see it in your child, perhaps, and they're stubborn, and they won't listen. And the root of that often is pride and arrogance. And God hates that, of course. And Cain perhaps tried to gain the approval of God by doing it his own way. You see, God isn't going to, God is never going to adjust his requirements just to be nice to us. I would even say God is not nice like that. God is never going to adjust and change his requirements of us just because I'm a jolly good chap. Just because I go to church on a Sunday. Just because I might read my Bible now and again. He's not going to change them. God is God. He is not like man that he should change his mind and lie. He doesn't do that. And we need to remember that. Don't get into your mind, friends, that God is like you or me. When he says something, he means it. And we need to listen to that. We need to listen to that. You see, and Cain didn't do that. He did not listen. And maybe he didn't listen because he didn't really take God seriously. Maybe he thought, well, God doesn't really mean that. You know, we're living in a different day and age. This is the 21st century. Surely God doesn't expect that today. What does God say about his word? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. What God has spoken 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, stand today. And one day it will be seen and shown. So let's not treat God lightly. Let's not treat his word lightly. When God speaks, he never speaks trivially. He never speaks lightly. He speaks seriously. He means what he says. He means what he says. I've got a verse written down here which I'm going to look at. Numbers 23 verse 19. I can't quite remember what it says, but it must be relevant. Oh yes, this is marvellous. This is the prophecies of Balaam. Balaam was a false prophet, really. And yet God used him. And this is what God spoke through him. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind once he's made his mind up, that saying. Because God does change his mind. He often gives a warning and saying, I'm going to do something if you don't. And God will not do that if we respond to him and we listen to him. But here we are speaking of something where God has made his mind up. And when he's made his mind up, that's it. He will not change his mind. And he's not like a man. And God spoke this through a man that didn't really know God. So Abel listened, friends, and he obtained that testimony. He obtained the testimony that he was righteous. In fact, back to Genesis 4. I've lost my page a second. It's interesting that we don't hear God speaking to Abel. We don't read of God speaking to him. We read of God speaking to Cain. Isn't that interesting? But Abel obviously had that conviction. He had the conviction. He knew what it was right to do. So you may never hear God's voice audibly. Probably never will. But the conviction that he gives, act on it, friends. Act on the conviction God gives you. Because if you do, you will end up doing what's right in God's sight. And you will obtain a good testimony. You will do what you will be pleasing to him. You will find his approval. Now Cain did not do that, even though God spoke to him. You see, it tells us this, that God so wanted Cain as well to bring a right offering. He did not want Cain to go down this path. He spoke to him. Verse 6, why are you angry, Cain? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do well, sorry, if you do not do well, I beg your pardon. So if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now what could be plainer than that? I think this is the grace of God. In absolute abundance. He is starkly saying to Cain, look, you have a choice to make. And it's unequivocal. He is speaking to him so clearly. If you don't do well, you're in trouble. If you do right, I will accept you. Friends, God is saying that this morning. If we do what God wants us to do, what's right in his sight, if we confess in his name and seek to follow him, we will find his approval and get a good testimony. But if, like Cain, we do not respond, and Cain didn't respond, he hardened his heart and he killed his brother. I would say perhaps it's the first martyr for the faith. We say that Stephen was the first martyr. Well, yes, he was in a sense. Of course he was. But here we have the first martyr, first death. And the first death in the Bible was a man dying for his faith. It was ever thus. We have believers, brothers and sisters around the world today dying for their faith, willing to lose their lives for this precious faith God has given them, for the precious Savior who has given them life. Because they see there's a greater goal, friends. There's something far greater, far higher than this life. And we need to understand that. And as the days grow darker, and they will, understand this, friends. There is something far higher, far greater that God wants for his people. So are you his people this morning? Are you his? He wants you to be his, friends. He wants it just like Cain. He will persist, I hope and pray, to get a hold of us. As he did with Cain. But Cain sadly ignored. You see, God wasn't going to turn Cain's hand. He wasn't going to twist his arm and make him do what God wanted him to do. God isn't like that, friends. God wants us to respond willingly. He wants a heart, loving, willing relationship with us, where we respond to him as Abel did. So Abel died for his faith. And the first thing I will say, I will say this, that if we are to gain a good testimony by faith, it could be costly. It will be costly, because gaining approval with God is no guarantee I'm going to gain approval with man. In fact, that might have been true a generation ago, but the more we seek to find approval with God in this generation, the more you will find disapproval in the eyes of men in this generation that we're living in. Because more and more, as we veer away from the Word of God and God's expectations, we find that the two are clashing, aren't we? They're so different. So different. So don't expect that because you want to live and gain a good testimony with God that you're going to get approval from men. It's less likely to happen today than it was 50 years ago. So back to that Hebrews 11. Let's go and look at the second man. Hebrews 11. And the second man is Enoch. Enoch, and it says there, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go carry on first of all. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up he was pleasing to God. That was the testimony that Enoch had. He walked with God and he was pleasing to God. I want that testimony, friends. Do you? I want God to look at my life and say, he is pleasing to me. I am well pleased. Now I know I'm not well pleasing sometimes to God, but I want that testimony. And when we're not well pleasing to God, get right with him quickly. Put it right with him. Confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive. Because if our heart intent is right, that's more than half the battle. By faith Enoch was taken up. So Enoch walked with God. And that word walked with God is to go with God. So it's not a sense that there were equal partners here. He was going with God. God was leading. And he was going with God. And that to me speaks of a surrendered life. If we want to find the approval of God like Enoch, we need to surrender our lives to him. We need to stop trying to walk our own way and do our own thing and hope God will come along with us. That's not what it means here. That I can walk my own way and God's going to come with me regardless of what I do and how I live. It doesn't work that way. If we do that, we'll find ourselves walking down a path where God is not with us. Very vulnerable. Unprotected, in a very dangerous place. But when we walk with God, when we go with him, when we allow him to lead us, that is the safest place we could ever be in. There is no safer place, no better place to be in. Every provision that we need for our lives, God is able to give it because we are near enough to receive it from him. But if we go our way and we are down that path and God's over there, we can't receive it from him. We're not near enough. So friends, make it your heart's desire, my heart's desire, to stay near him, to walk with God. That is a precious place to be in. Because it's in that place of surrender, where we go with him, we can receive all the provision that God has for us, and we can know that protection that he affords. And it's interesting, isn't it, as well? He was taken by faith. That's a strange thing, isn't it? He was taken by faith. It could mean, could that word in the Greek, it says by faith. The word by isn't there in the Greek, it's just faith. It could read in faith. He was taken. I prefer that. In faith he was taken. He was taken believing, trusting, with the conviction that God was going to take him. He knew that God was going to take him. He had a conviction for it. By faith in that sense. But he was taken in faith. I want to die in faith. Don't we want to die in faith? Trusting and believing in our precious Savior. We're all going to die, friends. Unless the Lord comes back before then, we're all going to go. We just lost our brother Turlo. But he died in faith, believing. So we know where he is. He's in the presence of God. None of us can avoid this. So we need to make sure that our faith is genuine. And we are in faith throughout our lives and at the end of our lives, particularly here. With Enoch, it was the end of his life, obviously, we are looking at here. You see, Enoch listened to God. Another one that listened. He could not have walked with God if he was not listening. You and I cannot walk with God and go with God unless we listen. This assembly cannot go with God unless we listen to him. Oh, may God sharpen our hearing. May he sharpen my hearing. I can be dull of hearing at times. I don't know about you, but I can be dull of hearing. May the Lord sharpen our hearing in these days, friends, more than any other day. We need to be an assembly that listens to what God is saying. Far too many in Christendom are not listening. And then what we do, we seek the approval of men instead of the approval of God. And we get into all kinds of trouble. We start embracing the world. I don't need to tell you what some churches are embracing today. But it's because we're not listening to him. We're not walking with him. We're not seeking his approval. May we not fall into that trap, friends, individually or as an assembly. Well, time has marched on, but this genuine faith is for all of us. Not one here this morning needs to be exempt. We can all find genuine faith simply by being in relationship with him. And if you're not in relationship with him this morning, it's very simple to come into a relationship with the living God. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to confess that to the Lord. You need to surrender your life to him. Say, Lord, I want to give you my life this morning. I want to follow you and walk with you. I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life, but I give it to you now. For what's left of my life, like Enoch, I want to walk with you. And if you do that, friends, in all sincerity, God will meet with you. Because God is faithful. And God will do it. And he wants to do it. It's on his heart to do that. Now, Enoch was a young man when he died. Did you know that? Because most men, before the flood, lived a long time. You see, God's initial intent was not that we should die at all. So when people say, oh, how can people live that long? People lived 800-900 years. And initially, God didn't expect any of them to die. But because sin came in the world, and it was pre-flood, and things changed after the flood, and so on, won't go into that. But Enoch was a young man when he died. He was only 365. 365. But in those years, he had a testimony. In those years, he gained a testimony. It doesn't matter how old or how long you've lived, friends. So I can speak to the young people. A young life today, well, what's that, 20, 10, 15, 20 years? You can gain a testimony before God simply by walking by faith. By being in relationship with him and receiving that faith so you can do what's right in his sight and be pleasing to him. Now, just to conclude, I think I just need to say this probably, yes. Even though time is marching on. Genuine faith will be tested. Genuine faith will be tested. Because God wants us to see that we have genuine faith, first of all. It is not made up. It's not something illusionary. It's real. And I just want to read from Romans 4. The last passage we'll read probably. Romans 4. This is about dear Abraham, the father of faith in a sense. So if anybody knows anything about faith, it's Abraham. Let's read from verse 18. In hope against hope he believed. When everything was saying everything else against it, what God had said, he believed God. When everybody else around you is saying something contrary to what God has said, who are we going to believe? Well, like Abraham, believe God. Believe him. Hold fast to him. In hope against hope he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which he has spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. He was 99 years of age. He was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And that's the kind of faith I want. I want to grow strong in faith, even when everything else around me is saying, that's not going to happen. That's the kind of faith, because eventually it will. Even though Abram had to wait, God was testing him. Okay, he wasn't perfect. He did some silly things. We know that. But he did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith. And the ultimate aim of all of this, it says there, giving glory to God. That is what God wants for every one of us. And from this assembly, he wants us to give glory to him. He wants to gain much glory from our lives. He wants that, friends. And we cannot give glory to God if we don't walk in genuine faith, which enables us to gain that approval of God and a good testimony. But if we do that, God will get the glory. You see, Abraham could never have got the glory here. He was 99 years of age. His wife was 90. It was impossible for this to happen. It happened after many years of waiting and God's promise. God was glorified. Friends, hold on to God. If he's spoken to you about something, hold on to it. Hold fast to him, because he will be glorified. He will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask you with all our hearts this morning, help us to be a listening people. Give us hearts that will take to heart all that you say to us. Give us hearts that are responsive to you. Oh, Father, forgive us for our lack of response so often. But, Lord, we beg of you, forgive us. Help us to be repentant so that we can indeed hear what you're saying. And then, Lord, help us to operate in genuine faith so that we find your approval, so that we gain a good testimony. Ultimately, that God is glorified. Lord, we want you to be glorified in our midst. We want you to be glorified in our lives. We want Bethel Christian Assembly to bring glory to God. And we cannot do that in ourselves. It can only be done as you enable us, as you give us that faith, as you cause us to walk in faith with you. Help us, Lord, to learn from the life of Abel and the life of Enoch, we pray, unto the glory of God. Amen.